Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Mac Show. I'm Jeff Gamet. I'm your interim host, sitting in for Ewan Rankin. And turns out we have stuff to talk about today. And some of it is important enough that we needed to have a token Brit on the British Tech Network's Mac Show. And since I've done that setup, I'm just going to jump right in and start saying hi to people because I have a lot of friends here with me today. I'm so excited. Ian, as our token Brit today, how are you?
I'm fantastic. I'm good. And my day came to sort of an end where I thought, actually, I could be on the Mac Show for a change today instead of my usual people don't know they'll find me on Big normally. So yeah, I'm going to be here spreading ignorance about Macintosh instead of making ignorance about IT in general. So what could be better?
You will fit in perfectly.
Yeah, I don't know anything about that. I thought IT, I don't know about this. So yeah, it just seems perfect. So yeah, and I saw that news, I thought, oh, hello. And I thought, well, yeah, I'll come and talk about it, might as well.
Yeah, well, I'm glad the timing worked out so you could join us because it will be nice to have your perspective. The man that always has a really interesting perspective, and now there's three guys that are like, who am I talking about? But it could be any of you. It's no, Ben, you always have an interesting perspective because there's usually a cat on your lap.
This is true.
And Dave has an interesting perspective because he has the ability to see past how ridiculous I am.
No, Dave's perspective is he can reach behind him and find anything he needs.
That's it. Dave's perspective has everything.
I need to renew
reach.
My passport.
Denied.
It's so important in America these days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of too late for that.
Yeah, and Chuck's perspective is like a big bucket of WTF. Or if you were in the pre-show, William Tom Frank.
What? William Tom Frank? No. Whiskey Tango Foxtrot.
Foxtrot.
So the phonetic alphabet that I learned is mostly single syllable, so that you can get through everything faster.
Yeah. The one for aviation is mostly so that over also not so great connections, you can still understand it even if people have really weird accents.
Yep.
And that totally makes sense. Yep.
Like yeah, listening to Switzerland. Like I like to listen to Swiss ATC and I'm like, wow.
There you go. I've shared the proper one.
Thank
so
you.
Anyhow, everyone, if you weren't here for the pre-show, you missed out on our discussion about phonetic alphabets.
Mm-hmm. And me asking and if they're ready to depart.
Right.
As well
to
as
which
some
I never
the...
got a response. So Tower is, I guess, gone. Yeah.
As well as some interesting nicknames assigned by the chat room bot.
True.
There was that.
Yeah. And that's coming from Cranky Johnson.
Yeah, we have a hardcore link right now in the chat and an eloquent boar.
And Hungry Beaver.
And a Hungry Beaver.
And the Hungry
that's
Beaver.
True. Yes.
Well, our panel member who is hooked on phonetics, hooked on phonetics, Chuck. How are you?
I am. I'm good.
Just
I'm
roll good. With it.
Yeah, I'm just, you know, I was going to do a Cranky Johnson joke, but no, I'll just leave it alone. No, good to be here, Jeff.
It's great that you're here. Actually, the person that totally got us rolling with phonetics today, Patrice.
Hi. Yeah, it's
how's
all
it
my
going
fault.
For you?
It's all my fault.
Yeah,
and it,
yes, I blame you.
Well, I mean, anybody who works for me knows I really don't care. Like, you can blame me. Just like, and if anybody asks, it's like it's always my fault. I really don't care. No, I'm good. I'm good. There's a reason why I'm on phonetics. I kind of, decided or finally committed to like a flight school, and I'm learning now, getting my right ear license, and starting with the coursework and all of that. So, really interesting stuff to learn. The alphabet I already knew. Like, there was like. practicing a little bit because, yeah, sometimes you forget a letter. But for the most part, I already knew that one, so it wasn't that hard. I've been listening to radio communications in ATC for a long time, so it's like, yeah, I know roughly how to do it. The problem is I have to do it in German. That I wasn't prepared for. But German is kind of half German.
Pick us up, right?
Yeah, sure. Sure. It might take about, whatever, 20 days to even get to you, but yeah.
Yeah.
Something like that. Small 20, planes. 30 days. Yes, small planes and over oceans and long distances and all of that. Yeah, but like, no, it's like that. I'm good. It's fun.
I was going to say Amelia Earhart did it, but yeah, I wasn't going to talk about that.
No, there's been tons of people who did that, including fairly recently someone from Germany whose book I think I picked on one of the shows. Katrin.
So. Oh, yes.
Yes, yeah, yes. I remember we talked about that. That sounded really cool.
Yeah, so as I said, it's not unheard of, but as I said, it's fun. Tons to learn. The first kind of course that I'm taking is on human anatomy, basically, or human like skills and limitations. So like how do all your systems work and how do they go wrong mostly? That's the interesting bit. Like, because you need to know that as a pilot, that if you look at something, you might not see what you think you see.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. So, well, I'm looking forward to the day when we can hang out together and you can fly me somewhere.
Come over to Europe and then we'll get that going somewhere.
Oh, yes, I know. This will involve me having to make a trip to Europe. I am totally fine with that.
Yeah.
All of us.
Yep. Yep.
Might have to escape again.
That's why I showed this. I'm going to get ready.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep. Good call. Good pro tip for everyone. If you live in the United States, if you're a U.S. citizen, make sure your passport is up to date. I bring that up for
no
reason.
Just a PSA.
Yep. International
make sure your
travel.
Passport's up to date.
You should always have your passport up to date.
Mm-hmm.
And a backpack.
Yeah. And a backpack by the porch door waiting.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep, have the go bag ready.
Yeah, also the passport works for Gold Star purposes.
There you go.
In the United States, make sure you have your driver's license with a real ID. You got to get that up to date.
Mm-hmm.
Here in Illinois, definitely. If you don't have it by May, you got to use your passport to get on a plane in the U.S.
You guys are starting to concern me a lot. Yeah.
Good.
That was just on the news. That's why I remember.
Yes.
No reason, Chuck. No worries.
And also,
don't worry your pretty little head.
It hasn't even gotten through all the introductions yet.
Nope.
Hey, I'm sitting here just a few miles from a nuclear reactor that Microsoft is about to restart. I've got a lot of other problems to worry about.
What could possibly go wrong?
Fair point.
Possibly.
Nothing.
I don't know. Technology might be a little different from 1980 to 2025. So,
yep. Yeah, going is Microsoft, from developers, Dave. Developers, yeah. Developers to meltdowns, meltdowns, meltdowns.
Yeah. Chuck, if it's any consolation, depending on the size of the nuclear warhead, I am either in the instant death radius or on the edge of it. So, you know,
either way, it doesn't matter.
Microsoft could be someone else. Yeah, one way or another, it's anyhow, have your passport up to date, everyone. And speaking of passports and our man about town, Dave, how are you?
I am doing great. I had to bring my car into the shop for some repairs, so I say, what the heck, I'll take the day off. It'll be a nice break, and then I can leisurely go back and pick it up when it's fixed. So
nice.
Doing great. Very cold here. It's like, I think it was like 0 degrees Celsius when we woke up this morning. So I'm sorry, 0 degrees Fahrenheit. Excuse me.
I think at that point it almost doesn't matter.
Yeah, as I was saying, 0 degrees Celsius would be like a heat wave.
It would have been a heat wave here. Glad to be here.
Glad you're here. And And of course, we know I'm going to introduce Ben now because he's the only person that's left. But Ben, you deserve a nice transition as well. So, ladies and gentlemen, let me introduce to you the king of the nightlight, the master of entertainment, and everyone's all around best friend. Ben, how are you?
I'm good. Oh, did you say king?
I was waiting for that background.
Subjects.
Oh, not me.
Well done, Ben. I'm glad that you were able to roll with it like a proper monarch. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. I still have to go get one of those Burger King crowns.
Right? Everyone kind of needs one of those anymore.
Wait, I got one right. Oh, no, I don't.
had you actually pulled one up and shown that it to been us?
A crack up. Yeah, that would be.
But I mean, when you said, "Wait, I've got one," I did believe you. I mean, I've been in your office.
Yeah, you have.
And and I know that there are no smoke and mirrors parlor tricks going on. You really do literally have everything within hand's reach. It is amazing.
One of these days, he's gonna.
That's why this room's a mess.
He's gonna like grab behind him and like pull out like a full on like single engine plane or something. Like, hey, grab this.
here's a Cessna, Patrice. Have at
like,
it.
Sure, I'll take it. Actually, I would take that.
I have this model plane though.
Yeah, that's a little small.
Excuse me.
If you have to shrink ray with that comes with it, then we can talk.
Okay, so I guess we should probably talk about some news. We have two big stories, and either one can come first.
Go with the UK one.
It's like you're reading my mind. That was my plan. So this morning, as far as my time schedule goes, we got the news that Apple is removing end-to-end encryption for iCloud features in the UK, and this is following the report that Apple has been ordered by the UK government to create a backdoor into the iPhone so that they can can access all encrypted data on iPhones from any iPhone in the world.
That's not entirely true.
No.
Because what they're doing is they're disabling the, actually recently, I think iOS 18 even feature, advanced data protection.
Yeah.
Feature, mm-hmm. Which protects your iCloud data. That would end-to-end encrypt your iCloud data, so including your iCloud backups. And that they have disabled. And since a lot of people use iCloud data, iCloud backups, like whether it's emails, whether it's set your backups, your calendars, photos, like tons of other stuff. Most people use iCloud, then the government, UK government can request that data and Apple can share it because they have the keys to it.
Yes, they can because they have... it's all part of an act that we enacted a while ago, the idea being that, in theory, if we're concerned about someone who's a bad actor and we want to get a full picture, GCHQ can then go along and be able to say, can we have access to Patrice Brendamore's data? And I can then go in, have a look. We can go, oh, no, there's only cat pictures. We're not bothered. Yeah. And then we go away again. Really, that's the idea.
Yeah.
So
how it was before advanced data protection, to be fair, Apple was and is or was doing it and is doing it if they can. Like if you don't
there is no back door. That's the thing that Apple have stated numerous times in both press releases I've read. There is no back door. So there's no way.
Right.
There's no secret key that that Apple have handed over to the UK government and said, OK, you can go in there if you want. No, none of that. So it's simply that. And what we've done on the other side of things is they've said, well, rather than worry about having to decrypt encrypted data. We're just not going to let you encrypt it, which is kind of bad. Now, I thought, am I using this? So I had a look at my iCloud account to check. I'm not.
No, most people don't, because most people haven't
it's
enabled.
An opt-in.
It's an opt-in.
Yeah, it's an opt-in, which I didn't realize. I thought it would have been because of the thing that puzzled me with Apple's security stance, and the way particularly they go on and all of the tech keynotes and everything else, I was expecting that to be on. But turns out it's an opt-in feature. So in all honesty, I can sort of shrug my shoulders and go, I didn't have it before. What have I lost now? I mean, it's that's probably true of I'd guess at 60-70% of the Apple phone users in the UK. They won't have any clue it was there, the Switch. I didn't, and I'm techie.
Yes,
and I didn't have a clue it was there.
It's not easy to enable either. Like, so I think you need a recovery contact if you want to set it up.
Oh, absolutely. You're going to need some kind of, like any good encryption system, you'll need a security token or some kind of key. All things fail, you can get back in to your data.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I looked in there now and it says off. If I go in there, on the top of my, I can't share the screen, but it says, Apple can no longer offer advanced data protection, ADP, in the United Kingdom to new users.
Yeah, so already done.
If I go into that, already done. But it was as of an hour ago, supposedly, or two hours ago. Three o'clock today. So it's important from one side of things, but it's kind of an on-story because I don't think
it doesn't
that
affect
many people. I don't think that many people will be affected by it. It's not like, say, WhatsApp saying we're going to turn off end-to-end encryption on messaging. That would be a big deal. Because they're not going to, because that is always an end-to-end encrypted message.
Yeah.
I mean, think this is, for at least a UK perspective, because no one's got it turned on and they're not missing it.
I disagree. It is still a big deal. It might not matter for most people, but it is still a big deal because the people who needed this wanted it or really needed it because what they're doing, like, for example, like journalists or therapists, or there's tons of, I mean, LGBTQ people these days, to be honest. Mm-hmm. There's tons of people who needed this and wanted this because they needed that extra protection from even the government in some cases or from other bad actors. Because it's not unheard of that people have basically accessed the iCloud backups and gotten access to that and gotten to that. It has happened in the past. So, I still think it is a big deal that Apple offered this. It's, I think, a really good feature. Might not be for everybody. You might not care, and that's totally fine. You don't have to, but for some people, it is vitally, even life-threatening to have this. So for them now is the choice, well, either don't use iCloud or don't use the iPhone.
Yeah, don't use iCloud. I mean, that's the question. Is you move?
Where do you move to?
That will allow you to get it.
Yes.
I mean, to be fair, the best thing in this kind of space nowadays is going to one of the Proton services, Proton Mail. And I think Proton has storage as well, and that's encrypted end to end. It's in Switzerland. Yeah, they care not what you keep in their servers.
Yeah, there's a ton of other services, but I mean, you can also be sure the UK government is gonna go after those people as well, because of course if you're pushing this in this angle, then that's what you need.
Right? I think for those that need it, Proton's such a small blip in the ocean compared to almost everything else. Mm. I'm not sure if even the UK government were aware such a thing exists, I'll be honest.
Oh, no, they probably do. The GCHQ knows, I can tell you.
Yeah, GCHQ will know. But in terms of the scale of things, OneDrive, Dropbox, G Drive, and all of those things are far more in their line of sight of things that they're... And your average numpty is going to be using as well for the 90% of what people are looking at, I think, as well. That's the way I look at it. It's that whole thing of how big is the attack surface in reality.
Yeah. I think at the end of the day, we as citizens of our countries have to decide what are we okay with. The government, you might disagree with it or not, but the government is doing nothing here that they're not mandated to do. like we want our security, and it's always a difficult question. We want our security services to protect us. There are bad actors out there. Unfortunately, that's the world we live in. If we didn't have that, we wouldn't have a problem. In order for them to do their job, they have to find a way to gather information from people, from devices, from whatever. There's a million ways to do that, and maybe this is not the best way to do it. We can talk about how, but I think the fact that they do need that information or some way to get to information on bad actors' devices, I think nobody will question. Unless we say, no, we want full end-to-end encryption, that's fine, and we're okay with bad actors doing bad things using that. Right?
It's the whole freedom of speech, freedom of information kind of juggling act.
Exactly.
Every government has to play. They have to play that juggling act where you've got to outweigh public privacy on one hand,
mm-hmm,
with public good on the other, and where that thing falls. And that's an incredibly difficult thing to try and juggle sensibly.
And also I think this is where this gets more and more interesting. We see what's happening in the US and some other countries like Hungary and whatever right now. China is a good example. Russia is a good example. The long-term impact of this as well, because, the data that is stored somewhere that the government has either already stored or could potentially access could be used against you in the future. You don't know that, cat pictures today are totally benign and everybody does it. Mm-hmm. And 50 years down the line or 10 years down the line, someone says, cat pictures are devil's work and anybody who has ever looked at them, should go to re-education camp. And here we are.
Yeah. Or your cat picture could have one pixel in it, which has got an encoded message and scrambled into the data, of course. If you're really going to go for full tinfoil hat stuff.
Who knows?
Who knows?
The point is more data that we think is okay today might be used against you in the future. Like, we talked yesterday, I think, about it, that in the US, libraries have stopped storing the books that people have, taken.
Yeah, your history.
Yes.
The clearing loan history. That's terrifying.
Yeah, but the reason for it is that a government down the line could look at the books and then say, those books.
Yes, exactly. That's the thing that I find terrifying.
Exactly. Already in the United States.
That's exactly it. And that has happened also in Germany in the past. Change. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. that is literally that's the thing that we have to balance against it. It might, like, the data we have in there might be totally fine and benign today, but do we know that will be forever and ever? We don't.
Patrice, I'm not in your country, but I'm kind of surprised to hear you, if I understood what you said correctly, to hear you sort of advocate for what's going on here. Because I understand the balancing act part, but if you're saying that your officials, or in my country, it doesn't matter.
I think every country does.
If they are charged with this, that's a pretty simplistic statement. So shouldn't they be charged with looking at? Yes, they should be going after the bad guys. I want them to go after the bad guys, but at the expense of the privacy of of everyone, and also we've talked about this 100 times before, but I have to say it again: just because the good guys in your country might be in power now doesn't mean the bad guys might not be in power next week. Yeah. The rules you set today will apply to whoever's in power: good guys, bad guys, trusted guys, not so trusted guys.
That's exactly my point. Yeah, that's mm-hmm. exactly my point. No, I wasn't saying I'm okay with it. I mean the method matters as much as the reason for it. Mm-hmm. And this method, I'm not so sure is the right approach. But I do understand, at least on a theoretical level. I've never worked in this area, but on a theoretical level, I do understand that what I said, or even what you said, we want our organizations, our police force, whatever it is, our security services, we want them to protect us as the population of a country or of the world even, to protect us against people who want to do, who want to kill people or do bad things to us. Mm-hmm. So that is a job that we have given them, right? We the people said, dear government, we expect you to protect us, right? That's a task we gave them. We can take it away if we wanted to. Mm-hmm. We could say, no, we don't want that. Might be difficult and nobody agrees on anything these days, but in theory, we could just say, no, we don't want you to do that. So they have a legitimate task. How it's done, as you said, that I think is debatable.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for the clarification, because I was really surprised that the charge for protection is absolutely correct, but it has to be balanced. You can't just say we want this because the bad guys use it.
Yeah.
The bad guys use, you know, they can use pocket knives and harsh words, you know, and.
Yes.
You can't ban pocket knives and harsh words.
We've had here in Vienna fairly recently last year a planned attack against Taylor Swift concert that was thwarted because got access. Someone in my guess is the U.S. They never said, but I think it's pretty safe to say that got access to chats from one person to another. One person was here in Austria. And they were able to figure out that they wanted to attack someone and were able to stop that. So that is a real thing that happens. And that is a real, I would say, benefit to us. But as you said, it's a balance. And the balance is not always easy. I also get that. Like, I'm pretty sure. And it can change. I mean, as you said, like, what has happened in Germany politically? Has it happened in Austria? Like, World War II times and before Nazi Germany?
Never mind World War II and everything else. Look to now. Look to our. Yes. If we
I didn't want to bring that up, but yes.
If we go gently political for a minute,
yes.
How all of the European governments are veering and slowly moving more and more right wing as we look at the landscape of Europe's political structure now. It's changing massively. Mm-hmm. So, Chuck, your point is very, very good. That. Today, it might be our perceived good guys in power this week. Next week, it might be a bunch of right-wing nutjobs that then use the same tools against me. So from that perspective, it is incredibly kind of scary, I suppose, in one way when you think about that more broadly.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, who's to say that in the UK tomorrow, a new government will come in and say, well,
not yet. We're safe for a little bit.
You never know.
That lunatic, but we might. I mean, the odds are the lunatic Farage will have some amount of power with another government, with another political party, I think, is the vague thing that populist vote looks to be going at the minute, which is slightly scary. He's our Trump light.
But Ian, the point is not who it is. The point is not the chance that tomorrow you get a new government and that government looks at this, to come back to our story, this disabling of the data protection and the access that they now have with that to data, or that they kept, basically, because, as you said, most people didn't even enable it. Says, well, I mean, now we can figure out who is for our government and who is against and who we should maybe send to the U.S.? No, I don't know. Send to Guantanamo Bay or whatever the equivalent of the UK is. Yeah, exactly. Like, they could literally do that.
That's when we all start to get scary.
And I hope it never happens, but that could, in theory, happen. Right? I mean, that's kind of... Yeah. Out there, hopefully.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, okay. Another aspect of this is that a backdoor for one is a backdoor for all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, this
so
is not
assuming
a backdoor.
Kind of. Right. Actually. But if it's an access for one, it doesn't mean that only governments would be able to exploit this because once you know that access is there, you can figure it out, and someone else is going to have attitude. Yeah. Ben, you're champing at the bit to say something, so please do.
Yeah. Basically, where we're at this, Apple has indicated how far it's willing to go. That isn't, and that's not just to the UK government.
I know.
Yep. Yeah, other people will be listening. to be perfectly honest, I think at this point, the days of advanced data protection in the U.S. and probably worldwide are numbered, because Apple has set the goalposts.
Now, with the current environment in the U.S., I wouldn't be at all surprised if something like this happened here.
Yeah, I'm
assuming that in the U.S. and in other countries, government agencies were watching to see how Apple responded to what the U.K. is doing. And if Apple capitulated, they would immediately say, and now give us that same access.
Yeah, of course. In fact, that's literally what's going to happen.
Yes.
I wouldn't be surprised if the call from the DOJ already happened.
I mean, to be fair, I don't think they had to call, because as I said, this was in place before advanced data protection was put in place. There was already a legally even mandated, like in the US, a legally mandated right of the DOJ to request the data that Apple has access to. So if you didn't enable advanced data protection, Apple would be able to provide those backups. That has happened in the case of the shooting, I think it's, was it San Bernardino?
Yes.
They didn't have the phone, and they couldn't get to the phone, but the iCloud data they had already provided, literally. There just wasn't anything in there, or not enough, or who knows what. But that was already possible before. Apple actually shut that down by allowing people to do end-to-end encryption, because then Apple says, well, we don't have the key, so can't provide you any. I mean, you can have the bytes if you want, sure, but not going to be useful. We do the same thing. Like, we have medical data. We see that most of it is end-to-end encrypted. It's like, if someone comes to us and says, we want it, we're like, well, here are the bytes. Good luck.
Let you reassemble your own special jigsaw.
Yes, here are the bytes. Yeah, find your key somewhere else, please.
There's one thing that's in this article that I think is almost more disturbing for us at our level. If you scroll farther down, I'll quote it. For now, these features remain available with their data stored in the same end-to-end encrypt. Excuse me, I picked the wrong paragraph. One outstanding question is how other subsystems of iCloud will be impacted. Even with advanced data protection off, some iCloud features are always end-to-end encrypted. This includes features like password keychain, data stored in Apple Health, Wi-Fi passwords, Safari history,
messages,
and more.
Messages, unless you do a backup to iCloud.
Yeah, I don't know about messages, but I mean, I'm looking at things like, okay, Apple Health, my health records, my Safari history, okay, but my passwords, you know, that is really terrifying, because that gives a bad actor access potentially to my bank accounts, my investments, a lot of things.
Yeah. They should still be end-to-end encrypted, because that is not covered by advanced data protection. Don't know what's going to happen, whether Apple will have to break that.
Yeah, but they are end-to-end encrypted, Patrice.
Yes.
And so by the strict reading of the law, if I'm understanding it right, the UK government wanted all end-to-end encryption.
Yeah, could be.
So turned off.
Yeah. So that was my interpretation as well.
Yes, that
is not something they could turn off right away. Like, advanced data protection turn off is easy, because they can literally just say, well, it's not available. It's a feature that you enable. But this is like these features, this end-to-end encryption is built into that service.
WhatsApp is the classic one here that they keep asking for either a way in or a way to disable the end-to-end encryption. And Meta keeps saying, no, not happening. We'll just leave the UK. You won't be able to use it anymore.
Yeah.
All right. As much as I'm loving this conversation,
there's other stuff.
We do have another big story we need to talk about.
Yes.
We do?
Yes.
Oh. Ben's cat.
Everyone say hello to the iPhone 16e.
Yeah. I'll just click through to have a look at this.
Hi, iPhone. Yes. I love it.
And now we'll say goodbye to it.
I love this. I really do love this. I probably will never buy it, but I love it. Why? Because it's different. Apple has done another kind of different line. I mean, they had the minis, they had the C, they had, well, at some point the 10 was different. Mm-hmm. I mean, now it's the standard, basically, iPhone, but it was for a little while the different iPhone, basically. So I like it. And I think it's a good phone. I've looked at the specs.
So is this phone then is the E for economy?
The E is for the letter E.
Is he,
Apple
is
isn't saying it means anything.
Was, extra special.
Say,
which one is it?
For economy.
Yeah, maybe it's for E internet.
It's never economy, is it?
Internet.
So it looks like
the
internet.
Internet.
So from this, it looks like it's effectively a replacement for the SE.
It is.
No.
Yes.
Kind of. No, well, it kind of is.
Because I mean, we've got at least one SE user in the house that loves.
Well,
their
it's
SE
the product that replaces the space left by the SE.
I would say so.
It's, but it's not a direct successor to the SE line.
Yeah, but it is a 16. I mean, that's the interesting thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The 14 as well, but the 14 is a special case because they had to stop selling at the EU.
Yeah, because of charging port.
Yes. Yeah, but it's right. Like it is kind of the SE, and but it's not.
Yeah. No, it isn't. The biggest thing is the two things is the A18 processor, but so you're not getting the exact same processor as the 16, and plus the new modem, the C1
yes.
modem.
That, yeah. It is an iPhone 16 with some differences and some limitations. Yes, and some changes like
no,
no MagSafe, for example, but then you get the C1 chip.
It's relatively affordable for an Apple device as well. £600 brand new is
that's what the SE was. It was always older, cheaper for companies and people.
Yeah, because we always were getting them for my daughter because she liked them. That was that form factor was her preferred. You know,
the only thing that Apple couldn't afford is colors.
Yes, I've just noticed.
Black or white.
I think that's the bit they're missing a trick, though. They are completely missing a trick, not making it in colors.
Yes,
because
phone, I'm surprised.
You'd think, wouldn't you? That's a classic marketing thing. Budget
Unless.
Phone aimed at the cheaper end of the market. Make it lots of bright colors. People will love it and they'll buy it.
Yeah,
you know. It's...
But the thing is, they do it. They're doing it with the 16 Pro and the Pro Max. You only have limited colors on that. But the 16 and the 16 Plus, you have the vast array of colors.
Yes.
Really so who nice knows? Colors. Apple may turn around and say, you know what, maybe we should start doing this. I was going to hit another point about the price because, granted, the SE was cheap. It was like $479 US.
Mm, something like that.
And now it's at $599. Yeah, that's a big increase, but you know what? Things are getting more expensive these days, especially with the US and those pending tariffs. You know, people can be paying more anyway. So
you got these things, yes.
It might be $999.
Yeah, I hope not, but...
But
it looks like a great phone for the most part. It is like you, Patrice. This isn't anything I would want. I'm a Pro Max person.
Yeah.
The camera actually, from what I read and did reviews on my show yesterday, that the camera is a true camera like the 16 and the 16 Pro, not the 16 Pro, but more like the 16, but with limitations, single lens. But you still have the software with the 2x zoom and all that. So
I opened the comparison page.
That's what I did too.
To the 16 or the 16 Pro, and I was honestly surprised how few differences there are. Like, of course, to the Pro phone, there's definitely way more because, of course, multi cameras and higher speed USB and all of that and Pro chip and all of that. But to the normal 16, there is some differences. But I was surprised. I was like, there were certain things I was like, wow, I didn't think they would do that. Like having literally the same screen on both.
Right.
I'm looking at the spec now and it's to be honest, it does look relatively good value.
Yeah.
It's better than, I'd take it over a 15.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think I'm getting the latest CPU, you're getting the latest.
Yeah.
You've got
battery life is
Apple
nice.
Intelligence when you want it. You've got And you haven't got a dynamic island, which a lot of people don't like anyway.
Yeah,
so
it's that's one of the few things. Yeah. Like, it has Phase ID, but not the dynamic island, which I'm like, yeah, most people don't care. Honestly, well, I mean, how much do we care about dynamic island?
Yeah, I mean, it's the kind of thing where it'll fit for.
Yeah.
I think it'll find niche for a lot of people that want an iPhone but don't want to spend huge amounts of money in upgrade. I mean, if they made a bigger one, I would be in the market. You know, it's
yeah, but that's the thing. The bigger one is the 16.
Yes, I want my Pro Max. I've got to spend the Pro Max. They used to do one though, didn't they? They did the Plus because I had one.
They have that still. The 16 Plus.
The Plus
still available.
Yeah, they have the Plus.
Yeah,
there's still a Plus, is there?
Yeah. But not the 16E. Doesn't have it. Like that. One only comes in one size. But as I said, it's like the small version.
Yeah. One size, two colors.
Yeah,
helps keep production costs down.
Yeah, yes. It doesn't have, there's one thing, it doesn't have MagSafe charging at full speed. It only does Qi, and I think even the old version of Qi, so 7.5 watts.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which that, most people are fine with.
As far as they're making cases.
Yeah. Yeah, true.
Yeah, you talked about that last night, Chuck, the one case that has the MagSafe on it, but I thought it was that brand you can use magnetic devices like a wallet or something like that, but it's not going to charge it fully like it does on the 16 and 16 Pro.
Yeah, Spigen is the one that they have specifically announced that they were going to make MagSafe cases that were compatible with MagSafe devices, third-party devices, not chargers, but like wallets and those kind of things, so that if you magnetic stands for your phone, so that if you use one of their cases, you will be able to take advantage of that. But obviously, if the charging is not built in, they can't add it.
Yeah.
So, and you know, it seemed like yesterday a lot of the articles I was reading were, well, first of all, they were all over the place about, oh, this is a terrible place to compromise. Yeah. Pick one of the features that they didn't do, you know, and some people thought it was a fine compromise. Some people thought it was a terrible compromise. Yeah. But MagSafe seemed to be the one that most people seem to really push. Yeah. And what I said last night on Dave's show is it feels like that might be a decent choice if you as a business are trying to push your users up to the next level, because people will pay for convenience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And the other thing.
Sorry, Ben. Go ahead.
No, you finish what you were saying there, Chuck.
Well, that's just it. You know, people might not pay if they don't have Apple Intelligence. They might say, I don't know. You know, if they have not gotten, if they have found their old cameras on their older phones acceptable, okay, that's fine. I can live with that. But the convenience of the MagSafe, you know that. That's something that is real easy to get used to real quick, and I would really miss it if it were gone.
Okay, but following, you already have a newer phone that you probably wouldn't upgrade to this one.
Oh,
so
absolutely.
For you, that sure is a problem. But for a lot of people that are coming from the mini, other older phones, or even Android phones, they don't know what they're missing. They don't care. It's like, I never use MagSafe. There's plenty of people probably that never even use, they have MagSafe and they never even use it. So for them, it doesn't matter. I think it is a good compromise to say. I mean, I'm pretty sure they did it to save, cost a little bit, but also have a little bit more battery life.
Yeah.
So why not?
But, I mean, the other thing here, look, Apple had a paradigm where it was the up-to-date Pro phone, the up-to-date normal phone, 1-year-old phone, 2-year-old phone, and then basically an old model with some updated specs as the SE.
That was 3 years.
This to me seems like a complete change in paradigm, because if you look at Pro, normal, and E, there is a direct correlation and step up of features. In fact, it would not surprise me at all if the 1-year-old phone is not sold next year and they just went with an entirely brand new phone strategy. with pretty much relying on the used market for anything more, because you basically have a direct correlation in price. You have a direct correlation in features. And let's be honest, this is what Samsung does.
Yeah.
This is what pretty much everybody but Apple does right now.
I think this says a lot about Apple controlling all of the hardware elements.
Mm-hmm.
Since this does have the C1, their modem. I think that part of what we're seeing here is Apple being able to control the cost of production better by using their own components.
Yeah.
And so since their costs are lower overall, it does help remove the need that they have to sell previous generation phones.
Yeah. Yeah, also
I think, and here's my harebrained theory, I think that the 16E and its successors are going to be treated, at least to a degree, like the iPod Nano was. Apple used that as a test bed for features for other iPods, and I can see them doing the same thing with the E series phones. And the first test bed we're getting out of this is the C1 chip.
Yep.
Yeah, I think Apple or the C1 chip also has a lot to do with Apple being able to offer it at this price.
Mm-hmm.
Because it takes away all the things that are basically not needed. Let's be perfectly honest. The amount of people that need multi-millimeter wave 5G.
Which anyway is only available very few places though.
Yeah. Because, I mean, here was we have sub-6 speeds that are half a gig. Literally, the 5G sub-6 on my phone in some places in the city is faster than my fiber.
Yeah, for now.
It's basically millimeter wave is something that has a cost of money and battery life that is just not needed in this class of phone.
Yeah, I agree.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, maybe the second or third version down the line will eventually get it, because it's cheaper to do that at some point than to not do it. But yeah, well, I think for most people, as I said, I'm not even sure most people care about 5G at this point.
No,
I think a lot of people don't. They don't understand. They don't know.
Well, that's the other point. Yeah. Yes, they probably also don't understand. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. As much as I would love to continue talking about this, we are quickly running out of time, and we still haven't done cool things. Ooh, nor cool have thing. We had that awesome interlude we get, the bridge in the show, if you will, where Patrice tells us about the live stream and the live chat. Do you mind doing that?
Please? Yeah, I'll do that. I was thinking, can I make some international alphabet, NATO alphabet joke now, but nothing comes to mind, sorry. No, we have a really cool live stream, live.britishtechnetwork.com. That's where the URL is, where you point your browser to. Whenever we are recording, you will find there the live stream and the live chat. We're recording this show Fridays, 4 p.m. UK time. So that's actually half of the year that's UTC, which might be important for the pilots out there. And the other half of the year it's +1. So keep that in mind. And I don't know if it's half a year exactly, whatever, summertime, wintertime, whatever that is. And long story short, Fridays, 4 p.m. UK time for this show, Thursdays, 7 p.m. UK time for the big show where we talk about non-Apple side of technology, tech news, whatever. And the live chat is right next to the video. You can't miss it. No login required. It is, as we mentioned before, it generates really cool names like the Objective Shirley that joined us briefly. We have the, what was it, the Hungry Beaver, stuff like that. So,
Affectionate McCarthy.
How about Xenodokial Johnson?
That's also really, really cool. And yeah.
Although Cranky Johnson.
Cranky Johnson. Yeah. Cranky Johnson. If you don't like the name it generates, don't fret. You don't have to stick with it. Up top, purple icon, click on change name, I think it's called. And then it will change that. Change name, yes. So, we'll change that. And if you are not listening to this live, you can't, you won't, you don't want to, it doesn't matter, it's all fine.
What's wrong with you?
No, it's totally fine. britishtechnetwork.com/chat, that's where you find the transcript, that's where you find all the links and everything we talked about. And if you put in, there's a calendar on the page, click on a date. If you click on today's date, which would be February 21st, 2025, then you would find or will find or are finding, because it's literally live transcribing or live transferring it over, you are actually right now, even as we're recording, finding the transcript for today's show.
Awesome.
Over and out. No, you don't say that in radio transmission, but just saying. It's actually never said. Not in airplane, at least.
Patrice, thank you for first, thank you for modernizing our live stream and our live chat. And then thank you for telling everyone how it works. So now it's time for some cool things. And Dave, you already dropped the link for your cool thing into the chat. Tell us about it, please.
I supported this in Indiegogo, and I'm a big supporter of Plexicam. I've had the Plexicam mount that was the plexiglass and a position.
That's what I'm using right now.
Yeah, and I like it, but I still find it to be a little more in the way when I was on the screen. But they came up with this new device, and it's called the Mag 2. This is it here. It's on screen and it's magnetic. So what it does is it magnetically connects to the most monitors. Now our friend Marty discovered it doesn't work with the Apple Studio Display because it won't connect. So they end up giving him a refund because that's the screen he uses. But most displays, I'm going to put that as a disclaimer, it doesn't say this in their advertising, but it really works really well. I'm using a Insta360 Link 2. And you can see here, here's the Link 1 in my hand here, and very easy to just plug it into the USB on the back here. Just plug her in and then just put a magnetic mount with a cord. Look, Patrice, they even gave me this color cord. So you did,
nice.
And it's actually
Patrice will buy two.
Yes, you should.
It actually connects back to it because it's
got a little connection here. That is awesome.
Oh, nice.
And it comes in this nice big nice case, so it keeps everything in place. You've got a magnet. If you don't have a magnetic, or if you want to use it with your laptop, there's magnetic plates in here. So there's the top there. There was another one with a blue cord. But there's a little magnetic disc that'll give you put to the back of the laptop, and then it'll pick it up, and then it'll stick to there as well. The first question I would have asked is, well, is it going to damage my screen? They said they put some pretty strong polymer base on here, so it does not cause any issues at all. Because I've put it on, I have two screens here. It actually works on a curved display too. I have an Asus curved monitor right next to me, and works perfectly. Actually, it seems to work better on that monitor than the Samsung 32-inch one I have here. But it works. But it works. It's $95. Not too terribly expensive. I supported them in the Indiegogo, and they just released it this past week to everybody. It's on Plexicam's website, and that's the link I provided. And I think check it out. I think it's a great product. I'm been very impressed with the Plexicam's products, and this is no different with this one.
That's very cool.
Very cool.
Yeah.
All right. Ben, your turn.
Okay. I will have to praise Keir for this one. But my little thing is what is now the most popular work in Apple TV Plus history, Severance.
It is.
the first season was phenomenal. Well, second season they found Spinal Tap and took it up to 11.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it has been nonstop. It has somehow gotten better every episode. I mean, if you think that's you know, they're bringing in basically new huge stars like every week. Like, I don't want to say much about it.
Yeah, please don't. I haven't watched it yet.
Yeah, but they recently had a scene with three absolutely huge name actors that everybody will know. Yeah, two of them you will know from season one. One of them is a new character, but it's just they have the best people. They have a storyline that nobody knows what the hell is going on, and we love it.
Yes. I keep yelling at my Vision Pro. I'm like, what the are they doing? Like, yeah, what? Tell me what they are actually working on. Like, I want to know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, Adam Scott is usually brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. In the fact that you have the entire main cast each playing two characters.
Ah, true. Yes.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Yeah.
Different but same.
Yeah, different but same. Because, I mean, just you can tell the subtle differences that they make between playing the innies and outies.
Mm-hmm.
It is so well done. And Ben, the scene that you referenced that neither of us will offer spoilers for, that was a very powerful scene.
Yeah.
I don't even remember whether I've seen it.
It's in the last night's episode.
Okay, then I haven't seen it yet.
But which I think it might have been a recast of a character, but it's just like the new character is played by one of my favorite actors.
It's really well done.
Yeah.
Awesome pick. So far, everything is awesome. All right, Ian, let's see if you can keep the awesomeness rolling.
I'll keep the awesomeness going. I was going to pick something else, but all this talk of security and everything, I'm going to shill for the company I work for today.
This is a legit shill that needs to be done.
Yes. Because we're talking about software backups and everything else, I'm going to shill for the company I work for. I work for Veeam. It's the largest backup company in the world now. We are number one. We have a free application you can use to back up your Mac. Completely free. You can get, there's full functionality for 30 days. You get a limited product if you don't want to buy the license. It's great. You can then take a proper backup of your Mac. You can then store that backup elsewhere off your machine on a USB disk, in the cloud, whichever you choose. But the point is, it's a good tool. It allows you that separation and storage of your data under your control. This is the important part. You get the idea. We talk about this a lot within our product, the idea of having data portability. So your data can take it wherever you need it to be, and you're not tied into a particular vendor, such as Apple, such as Microsoft. Whereas here, you've got your own choice. It's a really great product. It fully supports the latest versions of Mac OS. So today, I'm going to shill my... I don't normally do it, but today, I'm going to shill the company I work for.
That's awesome. And very cool. Yeah, totally a good pick. Okay, Chuck, it's now your turn.
So I don't know if you'll consider this awesome or not, but I've been using this for just about a year now. I sort of discovered this by seeing other people using it at NAB last year. This is, it's the best way to describe it is it's a little adhesive pocket that you can place on your laptop and tuck an external hard drive into it.
Oh, that's a really good idea.
Yeah, it was. I was blown away by it. It sounds so simple, but with storage so expensive on Apple laptops, it's nice to be able to supplement it, and also to be able to move it from, say, your laptop over to your desktop. But I don't want to carry a separate case. I don't want but I also don't want to throw an external hard drive just in my backpack, you know, alone and have it get jostled around or crushed. This tucks right in. You can plug it into the USB-C port Thunderbolt port. Mm-hmm. Right beside it. It, because it's adhesive, it goes right on, and you can peel it off and move it. You can only do that about twice, and then you start to have issues with things stretching the way they shouldn't stretch and maybe not adhering. But I have found I applied it and I use it constantly, if I'm especially on weekends when I'm usually traveling or moving around, as opposed to, you know, during the week when I'm pretty much here at the in my workstations. So it's not expensive. And by the way, you know, if you're not completely comfortable with adhering something to the top of your Mac, you could always put a case on your Mac or even just the upper lid and therefore protect it and have it adhering to that, not to the Mac itself. If you're one of those people that loves to put stickers all over, that's fine. Go for it. Because this could, you know, that same solution there. But it's not expensive. It works really, really, really well. And perhaps best of all, the way they've constructed this thing, it holds whatever you stick in it firmly. It's not coming out of there unless you specifically pull it out. So it doesn't click in or doesn't, you know, do anything fancy, but just it's a really, really tight fit, like a tight sock on your foot or a tight glove on your hand. It's not coming out of there. So, you know, if it fills your need, by all means, I can advocate it very, very well.
Okay. I think the bar is still set pretty high. And now, Patrice, it's your turn.
Okay, mine is an oldie but goodie, something that I actually bought again, the Apple Pencil. I mean, for me, I bought the second gen. You can get it on Amazon for cheaper than what Apple's selling. Not a problem. Buy the one that you want. The reason for that is very simple. I had kind of stopped using my iPad, literally. Like, since I have got my Vision Pro, there was really nothing I was doing with my iPad. It was half of the time the battery was dead. And then I started like learning all this stuff, and I needed kind of because it's ebooks and I have to take notes and whatever. I was like, okay, I don't like paper. So I have this iPad. My Apple Pencil is, I guess, broken. So let's just buy a new one and use it. And that's literally what I did. And it's really cool. Like, that's, I know it's for those people that have been doing it for a long time, including me back in the day. It's not a surprise, but I just thought it's worth mentioning. Like, why not? If you have to learn stuff for whatever you're learning, whether it's a certification at work or you're in school or whatever it is, like, or you just want to take notes, Apple Pencil with the iPad. You don't even need the iPad Pro. Like, I thought about it. Like, maybe I'll upgrade to a new iPad because it's a fifth generation iPad Air, and I was like, nah. It does the job right now. I can still upgrade. Like, if I see a reason to upgrade, I'll do it. It's not about money. I can sell it for quite a nice price and get a new one. But right now I'm like, this works.
Nice. I'm going to go with the bar is still high.
Okay.
Because that, I mean, that's my workhorse Apple Pencil. I use that almost daily.
Yeah, and I'm using it with two apps right now. There's like the ebook app, the training app that I'm using, and I'm using it with another pick maybe for a future, which is called ForeFlight, which is a kind of flight planning maps notes app kind of thing. So
nice. All right, all of you have left me with a very high bar.
So what's your bar? And how far are you going to go down? No, I'm kidding.
I believe it or not, I believe I maintain the high bar this week.
Wow.
And that's because I'm bringing an amazing app from Icon Factory,
yes.
Tapestry.
Yes.
I backed this when it was a Kickstarter.
Mm-hmm. I did too.
I picked it about 2 weeks ago.
Oh, okay. Well, then everything well, Patrice said still holds true.
No, but it's your pick now, so I want to know why you like it and what you're like about it.
Okay, so as someone that jumps back and forth between Flipboard and NetNewsWire,
same.
I realized what I really want is a unified chronological stream of the various things that I'm following. So that, mm-hmm. that's news, that's blogs, that's social media things.
Notifications of some sort sometimes.
Yeah, it's just all that stuff that and sometimes I just want to see it all together like a big fire hose. Mm-hmm. But sometimes I want to look at just like technology news or just Apple news or whatever.
Just the Apple newsroom. For example.
Yeah, and so I can just filter, or I can have groups that just show me the different things that I want to see.
Mm-hmm.
And I have found that this is so easy for me to follow the things that I want to follow. And it's a clean interface, and it's just very natural. It's like scrolling mm-hmm. through a social media feed, but without it being a dumpster fire of a social media feed.
Yes. Yes. There's no algorithm or anything. Like, it's literally
There's no algorithms. So if you actually went to look at one of your social media feeds in chronological order consistently, throw it into Tapestry and just look at it there.
Yeah. Yeah. And what I also really like about it is really extensible. So you can...
Yes.
You can go in and create so-called connectors and hook it up to anything you want. And there is probably already a million people out there who have created them for you. But if there's something that you don't know how, that you don't have yet, you can't find, ask your friendly AI. They can probably help you with that now.
Yes. They have a Mac app specifically mm-hmm. for writing your own connectors.
Yes.
I downloaded it. Mm-hmm. Because I thought, I want to see if I can do this.
Yeah.
My one complaint about that is that they don't include a sample connector
mm-hmm.
so that someone like me, who has very rudimentary coding skills, can look at it and figure out what to do.
As I said, ask mm-hmm. your friendly AI whether it has one for you. I bet it already does.
It probably does.
Yeah.
They don't have a Mac app yet, but the iPad app runs just fine on your Mac.
Yeah, I see. It's not verified for macOS as of yet.
Yet, yeah. Which probably means
but it runs just fine.
Yeah, which probably means that they have one in the works, because otherwise they might have just enabled.
They wouldn't even said that.
Yeah, they might have just enabled it.
You know, another thing I love when you add an RSS feed here, and I got up on my screen here, the Mac. This is MacRumors.com. It tells me, okay, there's a RSS feed and there's a podcast feed, so now I can put both in there if I want to.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever you put the website has an RSS feed for the most part, it tells you.
You don't even have to know where it is. You literally just say, "Well, I want MacRumors.com," and then it says, "Oh, I found those two things for you."
Yeah, mm-hmm. My one wish for this is if it would it would be able to basically look at my Feedly feed and then kind of determine what I want.
Probably doable.
Yeah.
You can export your Feedly feeds.
Yeah.
And I mm-hmm. think there's an import option, mm-hmm. but I'm not completely certain.
Yeah. So one thing that's really cool as well is a couple of the connectors that come kind of ship with it they're not the typical data connectors that you would expect, where it's like, oh, there's like an RSS feed or like something like that, a timeline or whatever. There's things like there's a ping website connector, for example, where you can literally put a website in, and if it's not available, you get a thing in your feed or when it's back up. So it's kind of a notification system as well. And it can basically run certain tasks and do that basically for you. There's a ton of really
thought
cool
about
connectors.
Doing that. That's super cool.
It's literally one of the connectors. There's like a health checks connector. There's a ping website connector. There's a couple.
I'm gonna have to have a good would play with
yeah, that. I think the earthquakes useful. One. Oh, okay, this is more feed.
That's useful here.
Yeah, podcast feed, whatever you want. There's tons.
Yeah, I really should have looked closer at the connectors, but yeah, you're right. Mm-hmm. Check it out. There's the earthquakes and
yeah. There's some really cool stuff. If you want like NASA images, I think there's one. Yeah, they come with some cool stuff. Pre-built.
That's super cool.
I haven't seen it. Are you able to import like the JSON file or whatever from all your feeds or your newsreader?
I don't know.
I thought there was an import thing.
That could literally be.
But, it's usually OPML, isn't it, when you're coming out of an RSS reader, isn't it? That's the universal format for those sort of things, isn't it?
Oh, I found it. The OPML file. That's what I meant.
Yeah, that's the guy.
Just pass it under feeds.
That's the universal format.
Wait, might want to clean up that file because I have a lot of feeds in there. This thing would be filled.
I was thinking I'm going to do mine, and then that sounds good because I stopped using it. But that sounds like a nice way to have just that thing kicking around. When I get back to my iPad, I should
import your OPML file. There it is.
There you go. I'd like that you can set up universal filters. So if there's something that's like a trigger for you, you can just have that filtered out.
Yeah.
Anyhow, there you go.
Yeah.
It's it's super
mute
cool.
And muffle. So muffle means it's collapsed but mute. Still there, and mute is it's completely gone.
Gone.
Hidden.
The other nice thing was when we supported through the Kickstarter, they gave us a nice perk of a lifetime subscription.
Nice.
Yeah, cool. Lifetime license. So on Kickstarter, we got it for $25 for the lifetime license. The lifetime license now is what, $70, I believe. Yeah. But you can also do a subscription. If you want.
Yeah. Like it works for free, but then you get ads. So that's your choice.
Yeah. And you don't have all the features, I believe.
Yes, I think so. Yeah. Something like that.
Jeff, I'm intrigued by NetNewsWire, obviously, as an RSS reader. That's fine. But as far as Flipboard goes, how does it treat Flipboard entries? Does it just give you like the same kind of, I guess, RSS like summary, and then or it, I mean, it doesn't up the whole thing into your feed, does it?
No, it's still a summary.
Okay, because I hadn't even thought about adding Flipboard feeds to it.
I add the Flipboard feeds in my newsreader. I use News Explorers is my favorite. So like I have your feeds in there and other Flipboard feeds in News Explorer, I can see those items too. It works.
There you go. Chuck, you're going to love this.
I absolutely love it.
All right. So after that discussion, I do feel better about unintentionally bringing a cool thing that we had a couple weeks ago.
Oh, that's never, that's never a problem. Anybody can pick anything for any reason.
Yeah, well, and it's not like anyone's going to stop us.
Exactly.
All right. So we are out of time. We need to wrap up. Thank you to all of you for just being fracking awesome and making my Friday morning just so much fun. I do have to get up early, drag my my sorry butt out of bed to make sure that I'm here on time. But it is worth it. I will get out of bed early for any of you anytime. You're all just wonderful. So with that, Ian, where can people find you?
People can find me here on, maybe here sometimes on the Mac Show. I might do this one more often. This is good fun. Otherwise, you can find me on the Big Show, usually on a Thursday evening. I'm on LinkedIn. My name's Ian Grant. You'll find me there. I work for the company I was shilling earlier. I'm remembering which hand to put up now. This is good.
I am so proud of you.
I've unlocked the scale of knowing which hand it is. But yes, and so
you had a perfect position too.
Yeah, yeah. I gotta get it. There you go. So I'm Ian Grant. I work for Veeam. I'm one of their trainers. It's a pleasure to be on here. I love doing this. But yeah, I'm here usually Thursdays and last couple of weeks families and stuff. But this week, I'm glad to come tonight. Enjoyed myself.
Awesome. Well, I'm glad the timing worked out and you could join us. Chuck, where can people find you?
MacVoices.com is where you can find everything that I'm doing. We are pretty much wrapped up with the CES interviews, so we'll get back to a more normal cadence now. Tuesday nights, you can find Mac Voices live on youtube.com/MacVoicesTV at 8 p.m. Eastern. And on the socials, you can find me as at Chuck Joyner. Ian, it was great to meet you. We haven't done a show before, this was a pleasure.
You too, sir. That's cool. You too.
No, I'm glad both of you know each other now, because you should.
Yeah. And Chuck, whatever normal means from Mac Voices.
Well, yeah.
Normal?
That's not my or me, Patrice. That's not a word usually associated with me either, so.
Patrice, where can people find you?
I think you might be the most normal person amongst us here. I mean, that's
I'm
not
so sorry.
A lot.
I'm so sorry.
No, that is really not saying a lot.
Find me. Well, yes, almost every week here on this very show, the Mac Show, and also the Big Show on Thursdays. Everything I'm doing, all the social media links, the podcast, the projects, everything on my website, thepatrice.com, brings you there. And I saw, Jeff, that you are using your Retro Rewatch mug for your tea today. I did not.
I am.
But yeah, Retro Rewatch, Jeff and I were rewatching Stargate SG-1. I forgot to edit today, so I'll do that later. But there should be a new episode out. I think it's neat. So you need to watch that one out later today.
So you need to finish editing the post.
Yes.
Because everyone needs to hear it.
Yeah. So you need to go watch the episode now that you can need to hear it later. I don't know how that works.
Something like that. I do want to point out that everything tastes better in a Retro Rewatch mug.
It does. Yeah. But my mug is unicorns, so.
And well, today mine is Retro Rewatch, and I have to say my Earl Grey did taste significantly better. I
hope it was hot.
It was. Yes. It was. Yeah.
Oh, I saw on Facebook an advert for Bodum reissuing the classic glass mug that you'd see that would appear from the. They want £40 for it.
Yeah.
Sounds you know what they can do with that? Them. You know what they can do with that? And what they can drink out of it afterwards.
Yes. They can send you one for free and then drink whiskey out of it with you?
Yeah.
That would be the one way. Everybody else has worked out the other.
Speaking of tea, Earl Grey hot, computer and program.
Yeah. But before the computer ends the program, Dave, where can people find you?
Yes, you can find me at In Touch with iOS at intouchwithios.com, YouTube channel, youtube.com/intouchwithios. I'm on Mac Voices Live every Tuesday night most of the time. And I'm also here on Fridays, and you can find me on Blue Sky and Mastodon at DaveG65.
Awesome. All right. Just for you, Ben. Computer Arch, tell me where to find Ben Rafik.
Okay. Well, I was waiting for the ghost of Majel Barrett to answer.
As was I.
Yeah. Ben would have been nice.
That would have been awesome.
Yeah. You can find me at Ben Rafik on your social media of choice. My little social media plug for this week. I'm going to start trying these as flashes, and I'm basically an upcoming Instagram alternative based on Blue Sky. You can find my writings and ravings at I can't even remember my own website, raythinktech.com. And as time and work allows, you can find me on such podcasts as In Touch with iOS with Dave Ginsberg, Mac Voices Live with Chuck Joyner, and of course the Mac and occasionally Big Shows here on the British Tech Network.
Awesome. Ben, it would not be the same without you throwing in your accent right at the end.
Your fake British accent.
Your fake British accent.
Yeah, you can thank Lawrence Brown from Lost in the Pond for that. Check out his excellent YouTube channel.
That was a dreadful accent.
All right. So for me, Jay Gamut on social medias. Look for me right now on Mastodon, some on Blue Sky, and on Pixel Fed. Then for shows, Tuesdays on Chuck's Mac Voices Live, Thursdays on Dave's In Touch with iOS. Here on the British Tech Network, Big Show on Thursdays, Mac Show on Fridays. Brian Chaffin and I do The Context Machine. And as Patrice pointed out, we do Retro Rewatch. In this week's episode of our show, we'll be talking about Stargate SG-1's episode Need. And with that, it is now time to really wrap up. Thank you again to all of you for just being so wonderfully awesome and putting a smile on my face. That I just love it. You all are awesome. And excuse me. And everyone that watches or listens live, you are all awesome as well. Thank you for being here, being part of this, participating in the live chat. You are wonderful people. And those of you that watch or listen to the show recordings later on, thank you for being a part of this.
And for showing.
Yeah. Well, you know, yeah.
Yes, and you may want to call the authorities on whoever is making you listen or watch this.
Right. Yes. If we are a violation of the Geneva Convention, we do apologize for that. Okay. Ewan, thank you for being you. Muller, thank you for making sure of people for shows. And I think that pretty much wraps up what we need to hit at the end of the show, except for me to say, hey, everyone, don't forget to join us next Thursday for the big show. Come back again next Friday for the Mac show. And all of you, have an awesome weekend.